Hey, welcome to the Hive With Us podcast. I am your host, Danny Martinez. Today, I have a special guest, Mr. Tom Antion, who has a bunch of crazy stories, which might cover in another episode. But I'm excited about this one because it seems like he's a man after my own heart. 10 minutes I've known him for, we're already off to a good conversation. So I hope you all enjoy this conversation and tune in for the whole episode because you miss a lot of stuff when you leave early. It happens. I get it, but don't miss the whole episode. So, Tom, where are you from? Where are we having this conversation from today?
Well, I'm currently, for the last 20 years, in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Okay. But I'm not from here. I'm from a little tiny town, a two-horse town in western Pennsylvania. The population is actually 500, and we lived in the suburbs. Total sticks I'm from. And it's called Claysville, Pennsylvania, named after the great statesman Henry Clay. I don't really think he slept there or anything. I think his horse just took a dump there on the way through, and that was good enough for us to name it Claysville.
So I have a Pennsylvania story that makes me laugh because you said it's a two-horse town. Yeah. So I used to be a truck driver, and I was driving through the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania, and I actually hit a Amish town.
Yeah.
You definitely weren't in Amish town because they all got horses.
Yeah, that's the other end of the state. But yeah, if we might eat the horses if we had a horse. Everyone,
oh no, turn them into glue.
Yeah,
that's crazy. So from Pennsylvania, now you live in Virginia Beach. One of the crazy things I think why we have you on this podcast is you never had a job. I think like minimum 1%. Like 1%.
Why would anybody want to have a job? I mean, I just don't understand this at all. I'm glad there are people that have jobs, but not me, and none of my students want to have jobs either. You know, I told you, you can live like two or three lives if you're not in traffic making everybody else rich all day long, because, you know, everybody spends all kinds of money on clothing, insurance, gasoline, car wear and tear, and just wasting time going to make somebody else rich. So Screw the Commute's my podcast about, hey, get out of the car and get into the money. That's as simple as that.
I love the motto. I love the mode. I hated when I used to have a job. When I used to live in Chicago. I used to commute over an hour each direction. It was terrible. And then when it was traffic, it was like an hour and a half at least on the way there, and there was no traffic on the way back. And then I moved to California, and my brother's like, "How do you deal with the traffic out there?" And
yeah, what city?
Ever since I've been an entrepreneur, since I live in California, I've been an entrepreneur. I was commute is terrible. I literally roll out of bed and walk to my office.
Yeah, I did a lot of speaking in California. And I lived outside of D.C. for 13 years on the Beltway, which is one of the busiest highways in the world. And then you got the 405 out there, which is just as bad, you know. So except ours goes in a circle and yours goes straight.
D.C. traffic is its own thing.
Yeah.
My brother lives in what cities live? He lives south of D.C., about 30 minutes. Eagle Bridge, no. Dumfries. He lives in Dumfries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that 95 corridor is just, I mean, it used to be when I was there, this was a long time ago. This was over 20 years ago. You would time out when you would go somewhere after morning rush hour, but before lunch rush hour, or after lunch rush hour, before dinner rush hour. Now it's rush hour all day. It doesn't make any difference.
It doesn't make any sense.
So yeah, get out of that car, man. Get into the money.
All right, let's talk about that, man. So how have you, like, I don't want to say it's luck because I think you put in a lot of work, but
yeah.
How did you end up without a job? Because that's insane to me.
Well, my dad came from Syria on a cattle boat back in the early 1900s. The time he was 10 years old, he was head of household. He put the first electric light bulb in Carnegie, Pennsylvania, ever, and had his own electrical contracting firm at 13 years old. So I kind of come from a lineage of entrepreneurs.
That's awesome.
I was telling you earlier, you're trying to pronounce my name. My name is a mistake because he came into Ellis Island from Syria. And in those days, this early 1900s, they named you from where you came from. So he was Simon from Antioch, Syria. But they couldn't read it at Ellis Island. So they said, okay, you're Sam Antion. So that's how we got our name. His name's up on the wall there. But then he was always an entrepreneur. Like I said, had his own electrical contracting firm at 13 years old. And so I was destined to become an entrepreneur. That's all I saw my whole life.
This is, I think it's just right here is an amazing conversation. So is that your grandfather?
No, that was my dad. See, I'm an old fart. I'm so far over the hill, I can't remember going up the hill. I'm 67 going on 12. And so he died at 94 and still had all his hair too. So I'm in good shape there.
Wow. That is, wow.
Okay, but I'll tell you what, you see this sign behind me?
Yeah.
Okay, this is how smart my dad was, only going to the second grade formally. So you know the singer Johnny Cash, remember him?
Yeah.
All right. Well, he had a song named "A Boy Named Sue," which was a song about an old drunk cowboy who thought he wouldn't be there to raise his kids, so he named him Sue, so he'd have to fight and scrap and be tough. Right. That was the gist of the song. Well, my dad was, I think, 50 when he had me. I'm the baby of six boys. Wow. And he didn't figure he'd be around. So from the time I could crawl, that's a little representation of me as a baby, he would put my toys on the other side of a pillow to teach me how to overcome obstacles. So my whole life, he taught me how to scratch and crawl and get where you're going, but not step on anybody or not cheat anybody. But if you tell me I can't do something, you better get out of the way as I blow by you doing it. See, when somebody, this is for your audience, when somebody tells you you can't do something, doesn't mean anything about you. It means they can't do it. It doesn't mean you can't do it. So that was how smart he was. And I actually witnessed him sit down when he retired and read the entire World Book Encyclopedia. Now, a lot of the people on here don't even remember such a thing, but it was 26 volumes, supplements. You know, you were probably a little kid at the time, but he read the entire thing. He was the smartest guy I ever met. So that's what I came from. And so I had no choice but to become an entrepreneur. And since I'm 10 years old doing side hustles, and I started my formal business, Antion Rentals, which you're a real estate guy, in 1974 when I was in college at West Virginia University. Or excuse me, you got to say West by God, Virginia. You can't just say West Virginia. And I'm sitting there reading a book by William Nickerson. This was long before all the no money down stuff came around. And it said, how to turn $1,000 into $1 million in real estate. And I'm sitting there and I don't even have a couch to repossess. And I did those things. And by the time I graduated, I owned 5 apartment buildings and a hotel. All right. So I've been entrepreneurial my whole life and I see the value. And I if there's one just small silver lining to the pandemic, it's that people finally got the idea, oh, you can work from home. I've been preaching that for 25 years. And they say, oh, I didn't know you could work from home. Yeah, you can. And so all this real estate in New York, all the commercial real estate is hurting because there's like 30% occupancy. So
it sounds like a new idea during COVID, but you've been preaching it for a while.
A long time. Yeah.
That's cool, man. So one thing I really want to dive into your dad, because that's such a great conversation. I think teaching your kids to problem solve and how to handle objection and not getting everything handed to them is really, really important, and it's priceless comes down the road, because I think it's just crazy to me too, because like I'm 30 and I have a 5-year-old, so like me being 50, I'm like I'd probably have a different perspective on parenting too.
Well, I tell you, I don't have any kids, but I've done quite a few things where I'm ragging on parents, and I do it and I get away with it because I'm acting as a reporter, not as I couldn't possibly know what it's like for you to handle that 5-year-old and be responsible for every little thing that that little child does and has. But the thing is, I see what comes to me to try to apply for jobs. This is sad. It's really sad. The entitlement. I think every parent, every kid should have to work fast food or some service business to really understand service and being not being entitled and working for and appreciating what you have. And that's, so my dad, the whole time is, you know, I never wanted for anything, but it was like, hey, you can have whatever you want as long as you work for it. And that's what I did. In fact, the story how I got the hotel before I graduated, right? I don't know if you want how much time we have here, but
I've been to it.
Okay. So this is the idea here is give before you get. And okay. So I had already had like a bunch of apartment buildings and I was charging more to the students who rented by the head in those days. To the students. than I was paying in rent to my landlord. So I was renting from this other guy. And every time he would come over to work on the house, I would say, hey, Frank, let me, I'll help you with this, but you teach me how to put those gutters on. And, you know, I was a sponge to learn, as my dad taught me that, be a sponge and learn everything. And so at the end of the semester, the guy comes over to the house and he says, hey, Tom, I want to talk to you. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, what do we do now? And he says, for 25 years, I've been renting apartments and houses to students in this town. And not once ever has a student actually asked to help me with anything, let alone want to learn anything about it. Mm-hmm. He said, you're the only one, 25 years and thousands of students. And he said, I own a hotel. I want to retire and go to Florida. I own a hotel down in Fairmont, West Virginia, about 20 minutes from where I was. And he says, I want you to have it. And I'm like, I said, whoa. And he says, look, and this is a no money down deal, basically. He says, look, if you can get the first mortgage, I'll hold back the second mortgage, which is unheard of in those days. And you'll have a no money down deal. I'll teach you how to run the place. There's a manager there. And then this is another thing my dad taught me is persistence. I had to go to 50 different lending institutions who all shooed me away like I'm a little kid. Yeah, you got an apartment or two, but it's a hotel. Who do you think you are coming to us asking for money? So I kept going, going, going. I finally, after 50 tries, I got the first mortgage. He held back the second mortgage. I went down once a week to pick up the rent checks and make the small repairs. The city ended up, that was 5 years of that. I was making $65,000 a year in the early 70s while I was still in school. And the city ended up buying it for a couple hundred grand to put a parking lot in. So I made $500,000 because I asked the guy, hey, teach me how to put the gutters on. So those young people out there now, it doesn't take much for you to beat your competition. All right. If you just step it up a little bit, guys like me that have money can put you on the map and change your whole life. But if you come to guys like me entitled and, you know, wanting to know where your bonus is on your first day, I mean, I'll have to knock in the next week. All right. So give before you get. That was the lesson of there.
That is an amazing story. We teach a lot about creative financing, and I think it's amazing. I'm glad you even brought up that story. It's such a cool story. One of the things I like teaching is be curious. Be curious because mm-hmm. you learn a lot by being curious. And I think you're definitely a curious type personality because, and just that story alone, when you're in the 60s, probably 40 years ago, 50 years ago, look at, and I can't even imagine, like, we're on, like I said, I want to bring it back down again because this is one of those things where, like, by you staying curious, and I think you're still curious even now, you can reach like insurmountable paths that you never even think you would ever be on.
You can't believe the things that I do. All right. Not only because I have the time, because I'm not making somebody else rich on the road. I'm already kind of rich. But the thing is, I just freaked everybody out yesterday. I said, I'm gonna learn how to raise chickens. You know? And everybody around me is like freaking out, like, what? And I said, well, look, all these egg prices are going crazy. I'm gonna learn how to do chickens. And they're like, you're crazy. I went out and found a lady. One of the ladies that works for me, she used to have a homestead teaching me how to do chickens. Yesterday, I built a roost by hand because my dad taught me how to use tools. And this is one thing that with the internet teaching that I do, man, people, I know you're totally into automation. I am too. But people don't get their hands dirty. Oh, I'm not technical. Shut up and learn. I mean, it's so easy now. I mean, I was making websites in 1997 with Microsoft Front Page when it came out. But prior to that, it took a year. This is one of my, I have 25 books, but this is one of my main ones on public speaking. It took a year to get the graphic of this on the website. Because you had to depend on a bunch of propeller heads and techno geeks because it was all HTML. And as soon as Microsoft Front Page came out, I started making all the, I just blew up because, and then all the geeks are telling me, oh, the code isn't really pure in this thing. Shut up. I'm rich and you're broke. I'm making my own stuff. I'm getting my fingers dirty. And now it's WordPress is the kind of the gold standard. You know, so, and I've never programmed anything ever. It's all off the shelf software that makes it, where geeks make it so I can be rich without knowing code and all that other crap.
One thing that's crazy about that is I actually used to make furniture. So I know I used to I built tables. I built chairs.
I built the coffin for my, I have a bunch of side businesses. I teach people how to make their hobbies tax deductible. And one of which is a protection dog company. And one of my favorite dogs passed away, and I built his coffin and had a funeral for him and everything. So, but yeah, being able to do stuff. I mean, and real estate stuff, you know, everybody says, Tom, why don't you get a management company? Because they're going to charge me $1,500 for a $200 water heater that I could put in a couple hours. That's why. And that's why I got money in the bank, because I don't have to depend on people to do everything. So the more knowledge, when you say curious, I had to learn how to do it. My dad was an electrician, so I knew the electricity part. I had to learn the plumbing part. Boom, 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 done. And all that extra money is in my bank account doing what I want to do, not just given away to people that, especially with management companies, who knows, it could have been $2,000 and then they'd take a $500 kickback. So the more you can do yourself, the less risk you have. And for instance, with websites, you know, somebody says, oh, so they quoted me $5,000 for a website. So we can make it for $150 with a WordPress site with a responsive theme and some cheap graphics off of Fiverr. And now for $150, you've got a $5,000 website. And now you don't have to make $4,800 just to get back to being broke. All right. You're making money now because you had a $150 website.
And so, then you hear these people like, oh, it's a tax write-off. I'm like, well, if you don't
have the money to write off, first of all. I could do it, but if you're starting out, that's just crazy. You want to do and the hobbies tax deductible, I have the dubious distinction of being the largest person ever to create and star in a tennis training video. And so it's called fatsotennis.com. Right. So I'm a tennis nut. And so I created this DVD series to teach big old fat people how to run the young people to death before they drop dead. And so the trailer is me playing tennis and eat pizza at the same time. So I have just a bunch of things like that can take your W-2 income and shelter some of it and do the things that you and your family like. See, so there's just all kinds of ways to play the deal within this internet digital world.
That's amazing. I've never played tennis before, but I'm sure it's all about the angles.
It is absolutely. The angles of the court and the spin of the ball. But there's funny stuff, too. I don't know if you remember that movie called Tin Cup with Kevin Costner, where he was a golfer. And well, anyway, he had lost his mojo. And so he was trying all these gadgets, you know, to help him with his golf game. And so in tennis, so, you know, a tennis racket, you hold it and the butt of the racket's here and the head of it's up here. Well, there's a suction cup you can put on the butt of the racket. So you can go down and you never have to bend over to pick the ball up for fat people. So there's all kinds of stuff like that you can use. But the angles of the court, yeah, that's the way you could really run the other person to death before you drop dead.
Man, my knees are already hurting. I know. there's a lot of good I think you're a curious person by nature, and you I think you overcome any type, anything you want to do, you determine to do it. So even like the chicken coop thing, I thought about doing it too, just because I just want some acres. But I'll probably do the chicken coop thing. My family eats a lot of eggs, so we like, might as well make it happen.
Exactly. I've seen them as much as $9 a dozen out here too. Could I afford it? Yes. Is it probably going to cost me more to fool with the chicken? But it doesn't matter. I'm learning all the time. It's like the Japanese principle of Kaizen is continuous improvement, continuous learning. And that's what that helps you, you know, with my age, I got to worry about Alzheimer's and everything else. So the more you can build those synapses in your brain by learning, the healthier you're going to be in the long run.
This show is sponsored by Hive Mind CRM. It is more than just a CRM. It is a real estate and business mastermind that comes with an all-in-one CRM. You can have unlimited websites and users. You can call, text, RVM, and email all-in-one user interface. And you can set up custom automations for any type and multiple businesses. 65% of companies start using a CRM system within the first 5 years of business. Once implemented, the HiveMind will save you on marketing, give you more time, and make more money. One of our users had his first $100,000 month using our system in June. We want to see you automate and accelerate your business. Text us at 210-972-1842 for future meetings. And of course, to get our $1 course on how to make more than six figures on one land deal. You can schedule your free demo today at HiveMindCRM.io.
Yeah, yeah. 67. What has been your, like, best thing you've left in the world that you've created so far?
No, it's pretty easy. Yeah, so I do a lot of charity stuff, and I've raised lots of money for animals and, you know, rescue dogs. I got a rescue husky in there right now. I got two German shepherds in there right now. But the best thing probably, I was doing a speech out in Vegas, I think it was, and somebody was on stage in between the speakers talking about a charity that fed homeless children.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there looking at my fat gut with my Dunlap disease, you know, your belly Dunlap over your belly belt. and I'm thinking, holy, how can I sit here and let those innocent children starve? And the definition of a homeless child is, an average is 9 years old. And the definition is they move at least once every 30 days. And it could be from a cheap hotel to under a bridge somewhere. So it's really, really bad. So I thought, what can I do about this? So I got on stage and I auctioned myself off because I'm pretty well known in my field and helping people with internet stuff. So I raised $78,000 in about 5 minutes, and that fed 288 homeless children for a year. So that kind of thing is the kind of thing that I'm, you know, why I still do this. You know, I can do a lot of good in the world and help a lot of people in their business and all that stuff. So that's probably the best thing I ever did.
Why do you like podcasting? I think you said you did over 1,000 episodes.
No, 720 episodes as of today. I used to poo-poo podcasting because I've been around through a lot of stuff. All right. And so, in the beginning, podcasting was just a bunch of people wanting to hear themselves talk. There was no money in it, and there was no audience. You know, they just, you know, oh, I'm a broadcaster, woo, you know. But then 3 or 4 years ago, I noticed that new cars were being able to play podcasts from their dashboard.
Okay.
That's another 100 million potential listeners in the United States alone, all sitting in traffic, you know, wanting to listen. Plus, podcasts have exceeded listenership of XM radio, which is a paid thing, or satellite radio. So that was one thing. And then the other thing that hit me was the Amazon Echo or Alexa, whatever you say, Alexa. Ooh, she'll probably answer me. And Google Assistant. There's a billion of those now in where you can go play Screw the Commute podcast, and it'll start playing in your house. So I thought, okay, audience is just rapidly increasing, and people were starting to make money with this. So that's when I started. And of course, Screw the Commute was made sense for me because, you know, it was a cool logo. It made sense because of my background. And I made money right from the beginning, because one of the problems the mistakes that I think podcasters make is they wanted to hustle to try to find sponsors.
Don't do that.
That's the dumbest thing you should do. I mean, I don't mean to be in your face, but the thing is a sponsor will pay from $12 to $18 per 1,000 downloads per episode. It's hard to get 1,000 downloads per episode. So you could wait 6 months to a year if you ever made it that far, because of what they call pod fade. People quit after 8 episodes because they're not getting rich all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But if you had one ebook, I have 25 books to my credit and hundreds of courses, but one ebook for $17, means I made as much as I would waiting a year and doing hundreds of episodes and, you know, and, you know, financing the whole thing. So I was my own sponsor for each one. I have products anywhere from $17 to $59,000. And so one thing can make, you know, would be 2 or 3 years of profit for, you know, a regular podcast person. So people were making money, the audience is increasing. So that was when I jumped in.
Yeah. How long have you been doing it for?
Must be four years now, I think. Yeah. It's 3 episodes a week and we're at 720 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I've done over 300. I've done over 300 in the last 2 years. So it's been an interesting journey. And I like the conversation and talking to different professionals like you and hearing different crazy stories. And, I learn a lot from my guests, and I think that's the bias that I get.
Well, I hate to tell you, I'm not a professional. I'm like a country bumpkin.
But this is the crazy thing about that. You can learn that. You can learn anything. You can learn something from a country bumpkin.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter where you came from, what you look like, or what race you are. You can learn something from every single person.
I tell people, you could take any farmer from my hometown and put them in any government office on earth and they would make better decisions because they have common sense and it's there. They know, hey, if I spend this money, this is my money, you know, not, oh, let's throw a billion here, billion there to see if frogs mate on their backs. I don't know all the crazy things they spend money on.
It's like, it's only a zero.
Yeah.
And it's a zero. I know what you're paying for. It doesn't matter. Me today.
Yeah. And if I find out I'm paying your student debts, I'm coming over and finding you, buddy.
No, it's just a crazy world we live in, and I think everybody misses the opportunity of the people around them every day that they can learn from. And everybody thinks they're maybe too high on their high horse to learn from, too entitled, like you said earlier, too entitled to learn and educate and fail and practice. And
And nobody will debate anymore. If you don't think the way they do, they hate you and cancel you. So,
canceled. You're canceled today.
Yeah, right.
As of today, you're canceled. Don't show up to work tomorrow. it's such a crazy place we live in.
I was thinking about canceling myself at times, but I didn't do it. I tell people in corporate world, I say, look, if you miss the corporate world and I'm trying to get you to be an entrepreneur, just buy yourself a water cooler. And then go stand next to it and gossip. And then you'll feel like you're back in the corporate world.
I have a fun question for you.
Okay.
What has been the easiest way to make money? And I might know your answer. It might be courses, but what has been the easiest way you've heard to make money that you've done yourself or maybe heard?
Well, I've done most of it myself. So if it's internet related.
Okay. Internet related.
Then, it's called residual affiliate programs. So for those of you listening, I don't know how well-versed they are, but an affiliate program is where I recommend the product. And then if somebody buys it, I get a commission. That's a basic affiliate relationship. But a residual affiliate program means I recommend a product or service, and then I keep getting paid as long as that person that I recommended keeps buying the service. So for instance, how this works, I wrote an ebook in 4 hours one time, a very short, concise ebook. And I remember vividly, I was at a layover at McCarran Airport in Las Vegas, wrote the book. And as of this morning, it's brought in $3.91 million. And it's a free ebook. And people say, Tom, well, that's BS. That's a bunch of BS. That's a get rich quick hype crap. No, it isn't. Here's the mechanism. So I teach people how to do something in the book. But they can't do it and derive all the benefits of doing it unless they purchase or lease or, you know, the service necessary to do it. Probably like, I don't know if your SAS software as a service, right? Yeah. So they pay over time. So I've had some people paying, you know, I recommend it once and then they've kept this thing for some of them 19 years. I've been making money off $600 to $720 a year for 19 years for just one person. So that's $3.91 million as of this morning, and anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 a month in perpetuity as long as this service stays viable. See? So you multiply that by a bunch of those things, then, you know, basically you're, it's the true make money while you're asleep. I mean, every morning it comes up, you know, thousands of dollars come in without me actually having to make a promotion or do an email blast or anything. And so that I call it like an insurance policy, Daniel, because I've gotten hurt. I've gotten sick. I had to take 3 months off to take care of my mother when, you know, she was going south on me and came back with more money than when I left, you know, so that's a residual affiliate program. So that's the number one easiest way online. You still have to do something, but once you get it in out there, then it takes on its own life. Now, other than that, I did have a big spokesperson job for CBS-owned switchboard.com. It used to be the largest website online. And that was $100,000 for 30, you know, quick speeches. So that was pretty easy. So big companies have big purses that, you know, if you qualify, can give you big chunks of money at once for, you know, what us entrepreneurs would think is very little work compared to our daily, what we do to run our own business.
So let's ask the same question about real estate. What's the easiest way you made money in real estate? Was that a deal you said earlier?
That was pretty well. That was easy on one hand to get the deal. All right,
but you didn't have to do the work to get the funding.
I had to do the work to get the funding, but this hotel wasn't what you'd call a Four Seasons level. Right?
It was a motel.
Oh, no, it was a hotel. It was a three-story hotel. Now, remember, this is the mid-70s, and the ground floor had three commercial businesses. So it was a barber shop.
Okay.
There was a numbers joint. That's an illegal gambling operation, which in those days, the police would all come in and put their bets down. It was like Wild West. And then there was a little dirt bar on the corner. And I got called one night, and I didn't run the bar, I leased it. I got called one night, say, Tom, somebody got killed at the bar. And I said, oh, man, what's up with that? They said, oh, man, it was a big stabbing. And so when I found out about it, this guy got stabbed 27 times. And the guy that did it got off on self-defense. I'm not kidding. That's the way, early 70s and a little West Virginia town. I don't know who the judge was. I don't know anything. I don't want to know. But that, I mean, like I said, the gambling joint, the police would come put their bets in every weekend on the horse races. And then that's a whole other thing of 36 rooms worth of people that were not bad enough to be institutionalized, right? Weren't really good enough to be in society. So I was in charge of all them. Just a quick one. I just give you an idea. This one lady, she wouldn't open her door all week until I came down on Fridays to get the checks and stuff. And then she'd peek the door this big and she'd say, Tom, come here. And I'd say, well, yeah, what's up, Helen? And she'd say, President Reagan sent somebody over to burn my hot plate up. Oh, Helen, that's too bad. You got to be careful. Keep your door locked. That's the kind of person that lived there. So when I say hotel, it wasn't Four Seasons.
The tinfoil hat and everything. Don't catch her out there. that's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I've had a colorful life, put it mildly. Gunfights, knife fights, bikers trying to kill me. When I had the nightclub for 6 years, It was on a drug route between Fairmont, West Virginia and Uniontown, Pennsylvania. And I took over a biker bar and turned it into a nice restaurant and big nightclub, dress code nightclub. And I don't know, Daniel, those bikers just didn't seem to appreciate my efforts for cleaning the place up. And they were trying to kill me. They set my stuff on fire. They shot up my car with shotgun blasts and we had two full-blown gunfights in the parking lot. But here's the thing. This is West Virginia. Right? I went to college on a football scholarship at WVU. And the day after the gunfights, the sheriff would come out. Remember, there's only one sheriff and one state police for 300 square miles. Wow. Every man's for himself. So the day after, the sheriff came out and said, Hey, Tom, I heard you had some excitement out here. I said, yeah. He said, anybody get hurt? I said, well, I didn't get hit, but I haven't seen those guys around. So he thinks about it for a second. He says, okay, be careful. And that was it. That was the whole investigation of a major gunfight. So no, it's hard to believe, but I told you I was a country bumpkin, right?
Times have changed. Times have changed significantly. I mean,
yeah, depending on who you are, they wouldn't even investigate it at all.
That's crazy.
I'm leaving you speechless there, Daniel.
No, I know you are. Times have changed significantly, and you definitely can't get over that stuff like that.
But anymore. You know what? I turned it into a side hustle. You know, I've been a martial artist my entire life, but when you change from being a martial artist to real life bikers trying to kill you, it's a little bit different. And so my whole life have been high security and so forth. So I turned it into a side hustle called brutal self-defense. And it is really, really nasty stuff on how to stay safe. It's a 14-hour, two-day seminar we put on video. Every possible way you can damage a human being, you know, that's trying to get you, you know, or your kids or your family or something like that. Yeah, I'll turn anything into a side hustle as long as I'm qualified for it.
you sound like the people that used to be on late night TV with
the which one? Like the guy that sold the classified ads? Do you remember that guy?
It was one of my real estate friends. He's been in real estate for like 30, 40 years. And he said there was an Asian guy that used to have a late night commercial. There was a Chinese guy. And he's always talking about, and he was always on boats with women back in the 70s.
Yeah. 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 I remember all those things. And he said, mine is real life. I mean, I can't even swim. So if I was on a boat with a woman, I'd probably fall over and drown.
I just hope you can swim.
No, I can't. I got a swimming pool out here. I've been in it twice in 20 years. It's for the kids.
So tell us about your podcast, Screw the Commute. What's the generalized about that, getting out of the 9-to-5 and working
for it? Yeah, so we've had about 350 just straight training episodes of stuff that I have either made a lot of money on or saved a lot of money on, every topic you can think of that's online. Other than I don't do any multi-level marketing stuff. I don't really specialize in local marketing. If a local person comes to me, I say, you need to be, expand.
Service.
With digital products, they can do their local business, but they can tell other people how to do it around the world and make more money than doing it. Right. So that kind of stuff. What was that question? I forget. See, I'm getting old.
Your podcast, what's it about?
Oh, yeah, podcast, yeah. Yeah, so, and then there's another 400 or so episodes of interviews. If you're kind enough to come on, we'll talk about your software as a service and automation and all the stuff that you're into. So we talk about very successful entrepreneurs, and they have insights and tips and tricks. I don't always agree with all of it, but that's the whole thing, is you need to have more perspective. Mine is just from one angle. And people are successful in all kinds of ways. And so I don't treat the show as I'm Mr. Big Shot, I know it all. No, as soon as you run into an internet guy that thinks he knows it all, guard your wallet and run the other way, because they're going to take it from you. So that's the nature of the show. It's three times a week. We do have occasionally a youth episode of some very young person doing great things. And so we'll have a special episode for them. September is Vetpreneur Month, so it's all veteran-owned businesses, so we're very pro-military. My dad was in the cavalry, actually had a horse back in El Paso, Texas. Yeah, he lied about his age to get in the Army. It's very popular, there's no really much ads on it other than me as a sponsor with my mentor program. And I have hundreds of products and eBooks and courses and all kinds of stuff over the years. So that's been pretty good. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Screw the Commute podcast. Go check it out. I'll have to get on the calendar to get say my piece, but This has been a great episode, man. I appreciate everybody learn something, learn a little bit about overcoming, do the work, and learn, be curious. I
think and get into digital marketing and get residual money coming in.
Digital marketing. A little bit of everything on the show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for your time, Tom. I really, really appreciate you, man. This has been a great episode.
I got a freebie for him if you want to give him something.
Punch him in the freebie. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're into automation, so and I'll have to probably update my book now because I have a book on how I automate stuff, not to the level that you're talking about, but just little things. Like, for instance, I use a program called ShortKeys. We estimated it saved me 8 million keystrokes, where it's a macro program that, you know, I get the same questions all the time. So the answers, I hit a couple keys and it types the whole answer in, boom, like that. So there's just a bunch of little tricks and tips I use like that to make me lightning fast taking care of, I want people taking care of customers, making products and services and prospects and all that, not fighting with their computer, which I know that's what you're into. So they can get that at screwthecommute.com/automate-free. And it's not a little three page dinky crap. It's like 60, 70 pages of how to automate yourself.
That's crazy. I have a list of podcasts I was going to do is how I automate my life. And that's one I use ShortKeys.
Yeah. Oh, really? No kidding. I've been using it since 1997.
So with mine, I didn't even hear about it until I had an iPhone. An iPhone has the capability to create ShortKeys.
Yes.
Now that I have an iMac computer, I can use the ShortKeys on my computer and my phone. The same.
Yeah. My cell phone's here. Yeah. You can do, there's some of that covered in the book. And now if I think on the Mac, it's Keyboard Maestro is an equivalent. It's actually, you know, more, it'll do more things than ShortKeys, but ShortKeys has just saved me carpal tunnel syndrome. True.
Yeah, for everybody listening, man, stuff like that is like, it's simple to implement. And once you memorize your ShortKeys, oh man, I can't even tell you how much I've saved on my phone mm-hmm. and computer, URLs, all this stuff. I just hit two buttons or three buttons and it pops up. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm sure you get a lot of questions over and over and over again. It'll drive you crazy to go, even if you had to go get the answer and find it and cut and paste it, that's just ruins your train of thought. This is bam, wham. One other thing that I do is I have signature files in my email. And at one time I had 400 of them where people think signature files only your name and address and all that stuff. No, it can be an answer to a question where you just go insert signature, pick it, hit it, and bam, you just took care of that person lightning fast. And in today's atmosphere, they don't expect that. If you answer them quickly, some people are actually putting on their voicemail, we'll get back to you within 48 hours. I'm 67 years old. I could be dead in 48 hours. Answer me right now. All right. So speed is will really set you in front of people. You know, so automate your stuff. Get Daniel's stuff and use these little tips and tricks, and you can spend time making money, not fighting with your computer.
I'm gonna have to get your course because, like, I'm always good at automation, and it's helped me a lot with my business and life in general.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna have to see what you got, and then
Your employees should be using ShortKeys too. Yeah. Why should you pay them to make typos and to spend time just fiddle faddling when they could just bam put the answers out to potential customers?
Yeah,
increase productivity. Yeah,
it's important. I've been telling my VAs to use like AI and shit. Just like learn how to shortcut that stuff.
Well, yeah, that's just come on the scene recently as a big deal. But these other things are, you know, still not going to be replaced. That ShortKeys and, you know, it's just bam. It throws the answer in immediately. And you can customize it too if you want.
Yeah. We're going to have to end it here because we're jumping off another tangent again.
Got it. Got it.
You're the community.com, Tom Antion. And I appreciate you coming on. This has been a knowledgeable episode. Like I said, this has been great. I appreciate you coming on and giving up your time. And for all the listeners, go check it out. Go like, subscribe, go share, go check out his podcast, share with a friend, and we'll see you on the next episode, guys. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for watching this YouTube video. We hope you found value. Please like, subscribe, and hit the bell to watch more videos just like this one.